1 Corinthians 10, we'll begin in verse 25. When you find that, stand together with me while we read our text for today. 1 Corinthians 10:25. All right. Now, obviously, we're going to be picking up where Paul has already been making a point, you know, throughout this chapter in regards to meat that's been offered to, or rather, sacrificed to idols, and that when there's a festival and things are, you know, being done by way of worship to this idol, that we ought not involve ourselves with those things. And he's already made that point. However, there's another point that Paul needs to make, starting in verse number 25. Now, if you'll follow along while I read out loud. 1 Corinthians 10:25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, that word disposed to go just means you want to go, okay? Whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, let me point something out to you in that verse. See that phrase right before it, right in the middle of the verse. It says, for conscience' sake. See that? Now look at verse 29. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So Paul said a couple things there, and I believe we'll be blessed this morning to learn the concept of give none offense. Did you notice he said that in verse 32? Really, that's the theme of what he's saying here. Give none offense. Now, what does that mean? Well, it has to do with what we said here. People's feelings do matter. And I think along the way we'll understand what we're trying to say with this. Father, this morning we'll one more time ask you to please do a special work in our hearts. We need you today. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us and help our hearts to be open to have a tenderness that when we hear from you, God, we would hear from you and that you would speak to us and that we would know clearly what you'd have us to do, that we might move with obedience. And we praise you now for your goodness and your faithfulness. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Have you ever heard the phrase, people pleasers? Now, whenever I say people pleasers, I mean people who have a desire to make others happy. That's a people pleaser. And this morning, probably you fall into the category of one of two opinions about people pleasers, okay? First of all, when I said the word people pleaser, you said, that's me. Because you know, in the end, that's kind of the way that you fall into the category of people pleasers. You tend to be that. And then you're either of that or you're on the other side. Where whenever I said the word people pleasers, you said, people pleasers. They get on my nerves, you know, those people pleasers. You're either are one or you don't like people pleasers. You're one or the other, you know. That's where people tend to be categorized in those things. People pleasers don't like it when somebody's mad at them. They don't like that. And so they tend to avoid conflict, contentious scenarios, you know, where you have to deal with an issue and you just don't like dealing with issues because you don't like the confrontation, right? Some of y'all are getting this, you know. And so you just to avoid them, you just don't deal with it. You just let it go and you just deal with the frustrations that you have about the issue because you don't want to make anybody mad at you. You won't deal with it. People pleasers don't like it when people are mad at them. And they have a tendency to get sick whenever they think somebody's mad at them. Oh, so-and-so, they didn't talk to me. And so I'm not making fun. I'm just saying this is the way that they tend to be. On the other side, you have the non-people pleasers. And they're quite the opposite of the people pleaser in that they don't really care if somebody's mad at them at all. They don't lose any sleep thinking somebody might be mad at them. It doesn't cross their mind, you see. They're not a people pleaser. It's not about whether or not somebody's feelings are hurt for them. It doesn't bother them, you see. Paul wants to make wise, discerning, spiritual Christians here. Whenever he is teaching right here in 1 Corinthians 10, he wants to make wise, discerning, spiritually strong Christians who are willing to make sacrifices for the body of Christ. That's what he's wanting to do. He's not trying to make people pleasers. That's not what he's trying to do. He wants to teach the Christians that when they consider the feelings of other people, it's not that they're trying to be people pleasers. It's that they're considering the body of Christ. They're willing to make sacrifices for the body, not to be a people pleaser. There's quite a vast difference between being a people pleaser and the concept Paul is trying to get across here. I remember when my brothers ran away from home years ago, and I told this story here before. They tied sheets together, crawled out the window, ran away from home, and it was a bummer. They wanted to live with mom. I didn't want to. My parents were split up when I was very young, and my dad set us all down on the couch at one point, and he said, "Listen, if your two brothers are going to go live with mom, then I want all of you." And so my sister and I, we were forced to go live with mom. And I didn't want to, but there, all four of us, he didn't want to split us up. And that was wise. It was good for him to do that. I'm glad he did. And the Lord was in that because of, you know, in hindsight, I look back and I see the sovereignty in the hand of the touch of God working in me through that whole thing. Amazing. But I wasn't too happy with my dad whenever he made me do that. And so, you know, for years, I didn't talk to him. I just avoided him. I didn't talk to him. I didn't spend Christmas. I didn't go to his house. I didn't want to. I didn't want to talk to him. And then when I was in college, I remembered when I went to him and where I called him on the phone and I said, "Dad, I want to make things right." And my relationship with my dad was established. It was restored, you see. Schisms take place in families, don't they? There's schisms that take place in church families. There's divisions that take place in just relationships. And sometimes we need to be willing to make sacrifices to keep those schisms or those divisions from, you know, continuing. So we would, whatever it takes, we would be willing to make the sacrifices for the sake of the family or for the sake of the friendship or for the sake of the relationship. Well, likewise, what Paul is saying here is that we need to learn to keep schisms or divisions from taking place in the body because there's always potential for that to be there, always. And usually the knife that the devil uses to cause the divisions in relationships is offenses. Let's just face the reality. That's the way he works. And often it's the way that our nature is built to, you know, thrive in those type of scenarios. Now, when we talk about the body of Christ, we're talking about something that Jesus died for. We're talking about the church, and we're talking about how that in the church there is a potential for hurt relationships. Amen? There's potential for offenses that would divide friendships. There's potential for schisms that would divide, you know, what God has designed to go forward in unity. And these offenses are destructive tools in the hands of the devil. So God commanded, and we've studied this before in the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and chapter 18, that if there's offenses, then God has given us the tools to deal with those offenses. And over we have studied and we have been reminded that if there's an offense, then what do? You go to them. In Matthew 5, you leave your gift at the altar and you go to them if there's an offense there. Remember? It's not a if you feel like it. It's a command by Jesus. Leave your gift, go to them, and then come again and offer your gift to the Lord. In Matthew 18, he explains that if there's an offense, a brother who's offended, then you go to them. And if he won't hear you, then you take another brother and you go to them. And if he won't hear you, then you take the church and you go to them. And so you're going to them. And Jesus told us how to deal with offenses. But this is a different kind of offense that we're talking about here. Not that offense, that if somebody who gets offended over here or their feelings hurt over here is different than somebody who gets offended or their feelings hurt over on this side. What we're talking about is a different way to deal with the offenses that will or potentially will come. One is dealing with an offense that's already came, Matthew 5, Matthew 18. This is dealing with offense that hasn't come yet. This is heading it off at the pass. This is the kind of dealing with offenses that I like. Not having to deal with them. Amen to that. Give us something, Pastor, that will help us not to offend people. That's what we need. Yeah. So we want to keep these things from happening. But I want you to know, church, this is going to require you to work. If you want to keep from offending people, you're going to have to work at it. If you want to keep from being an offense, potentially, down the road, you're going to have to be willing to make sacrifices. Now, who in the church do you think Paul is making exempt to this? Nobody's exempt. We all need to be willing to work at this. We all need to be willing to make sacrifices. Why? It's for the sake of the body. It has nothing to do with being a people pleaser. Whether you are a people pleaser or whether you're not a people pleaser, it's not that. It's for the sake of the body. It's beyond our personal feelings. People pleasers want to make people happy. And the motives, therefore, are selfish. Their motives are selfish. When we consider the feelings of others, however, we're doing it for the body. And so what we need is the tools that he's going to give us to keep us from offending people in the first place. I want you to see verse 25. Now, as we get into this, I just want to give you a fair warning. I say a warning. It's nothing to be scared of, but we're going to do some work this morning. You're not nervous about doing some Bible study, are you? I hope not. We're going to have to do some work to understand what Paul is saying here. Excuse me. It might have been that while we were reading through this, some of you were saying, what is he talking about? And that's what I'm talking about. We're going to need to do some study. So I want to this morning encourage you to have your Bible open and try to follow along best you can. Now, as I said, as we're picking this, you know, message up in verse 25, there's a lot of things that have transpired already in chapter number 10. And primarily what Paul has done so far is he's told the church that you need to abstain from fellowshipping with, you know, people who are going to a festival or a celebration in honor of a Greek or some sort of an idol, some false god that's out there. And so don't involve yourself. Don't connect yourself to the worship of a false god. He's made that point very clear. And so there are some things that we need to disassociate with completely. And that just makes sense. We're Christians, and there are things that are in the world that we ought to be willing to disassociate ourselves with. We are not going to show up at these particular places. Why? What happens in those places? What are people doing that are there? And we aren't connected to that. That's not our life anymore. We're not going to even go there, you see? And so there are things that we won't even take part in the festivities of those things. Because it would in the end be communing with devils is what Paul said. Now, what he's doing here is he's explaining how to handle the potential sacrifices, or rather, the meat that's potentially sacrificed to these idols, but in the end, you know, wouldn't be wrong to eat, but yet could be an offense to somebody. So there's a lot of things Paul is dealing with. So let's see if we can, you know, sort this out and understand what he's saying. Verse 25, look what he says. He says, whatsoever is sold in the shambles. Now, this word shambles just means like the meat market, okay? The shamble, you're going to the shamble, it's just like you're going to Sunmart or you're going to the grocery store, okay? That's what it means. So whatever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now I'm going to read verse 27 and then we'll explain some of this. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go. Remember, I explained that word disposed just means you want to go. Whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. And I hope you notice verse 25 and verse 27 use the phrase for conscience' sake. Okay, asking no question for conscience' sake. So here's what he's saying. Whenever you go to the market, Corinthian Christian, you go to the market and you see there's some meat. And I spend most of my time in a couple areas. One of those would be the meat section. I like meat. So there it is. You got meat. And what Paul is saying to the Christians, when you're there at the meat section, don't call the butcher over and say, hey, Mr. Butcher, come here. Where'd you get this meat? Where'd this meat come from? And Mr. Butcher, you know, he's got his little apron on. He's got his sword there, his knife. And, you know, yeah, I got that meat from Farmer Ralph. Yeah, that's where it came from. Farmer, I'm just throwing names out there. I don't know if there's any Israelites named Ralph. I'd like to meet him, but Farmer Ralph, yeah, that's where we got it. And so you're like, oh, man, yeah. Yeah, I know Farmer Ralph. All right, okay, I'll be back. You don't buy the meat because you got to go find Farmer Ralph. So there you go. You get in your car. You drive to Farmer Ralph's farm, and he's out there. He's got straw hanging out of his mouth. He's, you know, whatever. You walk up to him. Hey, Farmer Ralph, you're the one that sold the meat there to the supermarket, right? He's like, yeah, I did do that. He's got his little, you know, straw there, and yeah, that was me. I did that. Yeah, you're gonna love that meat. It's good meat. It's good meat. I dedicated that. I dedicated that meat. It's been dedicated to the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys. Yep. We dedicate all of these steer, all these cattle, all of them. They've all been dedicated to the Dallas Cowboys. And you're like, ah, I hate the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not going to buy that meat. It's not happening. So I'm trying to make it contemporary here. But let's say the farmer did dedicate his meat sacrifice to the goddess of Diana or some goddess. He dedicated it, sacrificed it, sold the meat to, you know, Butcher Bud. And now it's on the meat market. And you did the research and you found out that meat was dedicated to the goddess Diana, so you can't eat it. This is what he's talking about. He says, don't do an investigation. Just buy the meat. Take it home and eat it. You see? Just buy the meat, take it home and eat it. Don't spend all the energy and all the effort and all the, you know, this time becoming an inspector, Sherlock Holmes, so that you can figure out where this meat came from. That's what he means when he says in the last phrase of verse 25 and 27, asking no question for conscience' sake. So if the meat's sold at the supermarket or you go to your friend's house and they're serving a meal, don't, you know, call your friend to the side and you're sitting at the table and ask them, you know, I'm about to, you know, I'm this looks great, smells good, but where'd you get this meat? No, don't do that. Just eat it. That's what he's saying. Don't do an investigation. Just eat the meat. I remember when Melissa and I were courting to be married, I said something on Wednesday night. Those of you who are here, you remember I talked a little bit about our honeymoon, which was an adventure. But when we were courting to be married, I am so thankful that in that time, my wife to be had those blinders of love on. You know what I'm talking about? Those glasses that people who are in love with each other wear, so they can't really see who they're about to get married to. they look through these glasses and they just see, he's perfect, you know, or she's perfect. She's never done anything wrong. And I'll say, he always smells like roses, you know, and or whatever. And then we get married. I'm glad she didn't know about me after we got married, before we got married, because she might have had second thoughts. No. But this is what Paul is saying. If you do so much research into things before you do them, here's what he's going to say. You're going to find fault in everything. You will find fault in everything. And so don't waste your time here. If God has not condemned it in the scriptures, then don't waste your time condemning it. You see? Look at verse 26. Now, to me, verse up there till verse 25 and what we've said up till there is it's been encouraging, I really feel. Verse 26, he says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And what this meant is the planet and all the things that are in it are his. And so, you know, I think about new believers and how they get saved and they don't know much about the Bible. And that's okay. You know, just don't know much about the Bible. And there might be a fear, potentially, as a new believer, that once you get saved, you don't really know, is this okay to do? Can you almost feel or see a new believer saying something like that? Oh man, I got saved. Is Jesus okay with this? And then they're over here on, I don't know if Jesus is okay with this. And they look, they just analyze their whole life and they wonder, is God okay with this? And is God in this nervousness that's there? That kind of thing is potential. Here's what Paul is saying. If God doesn't condemn it in the scriptures, then he wants us to enjoy our life. He doesn't want us to walk around in life on eggshells. He doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to be nervous that we're going to always be breaking God's law, Christians. He wants you to enjoy your life. The earth is his. He created it. And he wants us to live in this life and enjoy it. I want to see people serve God. I do. Desperately in my heart, church, I want to see people serve God. And I'm afraid that sometimes Christians won't serve God because they're afraid God's going to take their fun away. You know, if I surrender to God, they might say, then I won't get to do anything fun anymore. God's just going to ruin my life. But it's so far from true. It's so far from true. The Bible says the earth is his. All things that are in it are his. And God wants you to enjoy it. And so, if he hasn't condemned it, let's not spend all of our time trying to figure out how to condemn what God didn't condemn, you see. Yeah, that's encouraging. Now, with that in mind, there are times that we need to be willing to sacrifice our liberties. There are times whenever we know God hasn't condemned something in the scriptures, but we need to be willing to sacrifice it. When is that? Because there might be Christians out there that aren't comfortable with it. There might be Christians in this room that aren't comfortable, even though you might be comfortable with it, they're not comfortable with it. You see? And so Yes, maybe God didn't condemn the activity, but we need to be willing to sacrifice that activity at times for the feelings of the others, that we might not offend them. And so Paul would have said to these Christians, that meat that's in the shambles at the grocery store, that you can eat it. We ought to be willing to say, I won't eat it if it will offend my brother, if it will offend my friend. You see, this is what Paul is, you know, saying. We need to consider their feelings. Yeah. So I want you to imagine with me. I know this is kind of one of those messages that it's sort of a slow developing message. So I want to try to bring you back to this, okay? Let's say you're sitting at the kitchen table. You had a friend invite you over. And now there's this, you know, this feast. And you're there. And some of our Christian brethren are there. And then there's some lost people there. So it's just, you know, us, Christian friends, lost people at the table. Here we are. And the food is being brought out on platters. And it's being set on there. And you're, oh, you know, that's how my kids are. That's what I do. Oh, here it comes. Oh, man. And the aroma, the doors open. You can see them. They have their hats. And here they, you know, and they're bringing the food out. And they're putting it on the table. And you're getting excited. And that's what I do. You're getting excited right now. Some of you guys are. So there it all is. And you put the bib on. And you're focused in. You got the blinders on. Somebody's talking to you. But you're focused. But then, you know, your Christian friend, your church buddy, he's sitting next to you. He leans over and he whispers, hey, I got to tell you something about this. What did he say? Let's look. Verse 28. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice to idols. So here's what he's saying. The food's brought out, and you wouldn't have a second thought about it. You were going to eat it because that's what Paul said in the first few verses. The food's brought out. Don't ask questions. Just eat it, right? So you got the bib on. You're hungry. Your stomach's growling. You're ready to eat. And then the guy goes, hey, your Christian brother, your friend, this meat was offered to idols. So what do you do now? Stomach's growling. I'm talking about food. So what do you do now? The food's there. You were going to eat it. But if you eat it, now he just told you this meat was offered to idols. So now if you eat it, it's going to offend him. So what do we do? Well, I'm eating it. He can get over it, right? It's my life. I can do whatever I want to do. I can eat it if I want to, and I am hungry. It was a hard day, okay? Well, that's not what Paul says we should do. Verse 28, look what he says. He says, eat not for his sake that showed it. Do you see? And for conscience sake. Now, verse 29, this conscience isn't your conscience because you were going to eat it. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. It's your Christian brother's conscience. We're considering him. And so we're not offending. We don't want to offend him. We have the ability to, you know, satisfy ourselves in this. But now if we eat this, then it's going to be an offense to our friend, to our Christian brother. So Paul is saying there are times whenever it's appropriate to sacrifice liberty or sacrifice our own satisfaction for the sake of our friend or for the sake of our Christian brother, that we might not be an offense to them. Yeah. He says conscience here, referring to their conscience. And so the implication here is that if you would have ate it, then it would have been a hurt to them. Because their conscience, it's not conviction, but it's a feeling, you see. It's something they're not comfortable with it, you see? They're not comfortable with eating this meat. And so for you to go ahead and eat it in spite of that would for you to say, I don't care about your feelings. I'm going to eat this because there's nothing wrong with it. So you get over it. And Paul says, don't do that, because it hurts them. Here's what will happen if you press on. And this, he goes ahead and says it, so I'm not telling you something that's not right there. He says, I'll tell you what he's saying, and then I'll read it to you, okay? He says, if you go ahead and eat it, after he whispered in your ear, this is offered to sacrifices, it will hurt him. And then in his mind, he will think, he will condemn you. What you said here and you said, God, thank you for this meat that I'm about to eat. Hallelujah. And you go at it. You don't care about him. He's watching you pig out on it, and it hurt him, didn't it? It hurt him. And now he condemned you because you're eating it. Now let's watch Paul say that. Look what he says. 29. The last part of verse 29. He says, for why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? So look at verse 30 and then I'll explain again. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? So here's the question that Paul is asking. How can you give thanks? Thank you, God, for this meat. And actually think that God is going to bless you when you did it in spite of your Christian brother. He says these things are contrary to each other. They're in contrast, if you would. You can't thank God for something that you know is going to offend your brother. You see? And so that's why Paul is saying, then what you need to do is choose not to eat, is what he's saying. Choose not to eat. Choose to abstain. Sacrifice your own liberty. Yeah. Be willing to say no to the eating of this meat. Now, I do want to say that as we go here, that we live in a very sensitive society. Very sensitive, you know. And we're not in the business. I don't believe Paul is in the business here of trying to teach Christians to be people pleasers. But to care enough about the brethren to be willing to make sacrifices not to offend. And it's different. Our family, we watch movies, you know. We don't watch a ton of movies. We don't watch them all day long, but we do. Occasionally, we'll watch a movie, you know. And we do it as a family. I'm not going to, you know, there might be a movie that my wife and I would like to watch together. But I'm not going to show a movie, like an adult movie, to my children. What do you mean adult movie? I'm not talking about like adult, like, Wicked. Stay away from that stuff. Like cursing and all that. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about something that my children, you know, they're not going to understand. And so we watch family movies. You know, we watch like cartoons. You know, we do that together. And we're, you know, this is sort of the concept that Paul is, you know, trying to get across, that we ought to be willing to consider the feelings of someone else before we decide what we're going to do. If we watch this, how will it affect them? If we do this, how will it affect them? So if we watch this movie, is this going to hurt my children? That's a good question to ask. And this is the concept that Paul is trying to get across. We ought to consider each other before we just do things. How will this affect my Christian friends? How will this affect my Christian brothers? Now, as I said a minute ago, we live in a sensitive society, and God is not, he's not trying to put a fear in us so that we have to feel like we're walking around on eggshells all the time. He never intended us to live that way. He clearly commanded us to make reconciliation and put those things behind us so that we can move forward and not worry about offenses that will come. But we're talking about keeping offenses from coming. And how does that happen? It happens whenever we're willing to look around and see how, before we make decisions and before we do things, will it affect the people that are around us. I was in college, and there was a young lady that she was 9 years old, and I was the Christian school worker, not the administrator, but, you know, I was like a co-principal in a way over the children. And so it was my responsibility to supervise and to make sure responsibilities were done. I was the PE teacher. And so, you know, I did all of these things. And one of the children, 9-year-old young lady, her job was to vacuum the auditorium. And so she had the vacuum and she was vacuuming the auditorium, but she wasn't doing it right. And so I went over to her and I was like, no, you're not doing it right. And I was showing her exactly how to do it, you know, according to my standards. I have plenty of experience in vacuuming. And I'm showing her how I want her to do it. And then, you know, and so she took the vacuum and she was vacuuming, but she kept looking over her shoulder like this. And I was standing there watching her. Yeah, that's better. That's better. And I watched her, and I could see her looking over her shoulder. She's hoping the whole time. She's hoping, isn't she? Well, I hope I'm doing it right, you know? And I was watching her, looking over her shoulder, like almost sensing and feeling the fear that she had for me. And it bothered me. And I left. I went to my office, and I got on my knees, and I started asking the Lord about this, because I treated all the kids that way. And I just got a hold of the Lord. I apologized to the Lord. And the kids don't deserve that. And so it was PE time, and the same day, and this young lady, 9-year-old, she's running around, and I'm sure doesn't even remember that. You know, 9 years old, you have a very short, you know, memory on a lot of things. And I remembered I pulled her aside, and my heart was smote. And I got down on my knee, and she's 9, so she's a little taller than me at that point. And I said to her, I said, listen, you're an awesome vacuumer. I just want you to know that. You're awesome. And I left. I left it. Gave her a high five, and we played PE, whatever. The day was over. She went home. And, you know, it was good. It was good. You know, God wants us to identify whenever we are affecting the feelings of other people. The decisions we make, how we live, how we act. It's my responsibility to make sure things are done right. But while I do it, you know, it's probably a good idea that I consider how it makes them feel. You see? I think Paul here is identifying a common problem that people have. And this goes way beyond ignorance, friend. At that moment, I realized my ignorance. And we all have those times whenever we've made mistakes and we've offended people, but it's been out of sheer ignorance, I guarantee you, a lot of times. Right? That's not what he's talking about here. Paul's not talking about ignorance whenever we're offending and we didn't know we're offending. He's talking about, I've got meat in front of me. My brother sees that it's wrong. He's whispered in my ear, and I'm going to do it anyway. It's, I don't care about you. I don't care about your feelings. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what Paul is addressing. And this is a common, I say common not in that I'm bringing indictment this morning, definitely not. I would say that this isn't ignorance, this is negligence he's speaking of. This is people who just don't care. And here's what Paul is saying. We cannot have the spirit of I don't care and expect our church to have the unity that it's supposed to have. We cannot be the church that looks across the aisles at each other and says, I don't care about you, and expect that our church is going to have unity. We cannot do that. No, we're not supposed to be people pleasers. No, that's not a good thing to be a people pleaser. Okay, and we need to work out of some of that because the motive there is selfish. The opposite isn't good. I don't care about people pleasers. I despise people pleasers, whatever. It's not about that at all. It's about considering the body of Christ and how our decisions affect or don't affect the division, the unity of the church. You know, Paul never struck me as a guy who really cared much. I don't know if any of you Bible readers have read much about the Apostle Paul, but he doesn't strike me as a guy that had feelings on his shoulder. You know? Like he's got a chip there and he's just waiting for somebody to knock it off. He never seemed to me to be that guy. Whenever you are introduced to Saul, maybe not the first time you heard about him, but I mean, when we first get to know him, you know what he's doing? He is killing Christians. He's knocking on doors. He's hauling them into the street, having them beaten and taken to prison in Jerusalem. The Bible says in chapter 9 of Acts, verse number 1, that Saul was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Breathing? That creates some imagery, doesn't it? I mean, he hates Christians. This guy doesn't care. We can sense that. And now we see a transformation, don't we? Where this same man is saying to the church, we ought to care. We ought to care how we affect others. We ought to care how our choices can hurt others. Paul's more interested in God's glory and the salvation of the lost than he is his own satisfaction. That's an excellent note. I'm going to say it again in case it went over your head. I want you to note this, okay? You don't have to write it, but definitely make a mental note of this. Paul is more interested in God's glory and the salvation of the lost than he is his own satisfaction. Look at verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink. Okay, so we know what he's talking about, don't we? He's not talking about just like eating supper or breakfast or lunch. He's talking about when you're at the table and whether it's sacrificed to idols or not, you're going to eat it. Amen? And so if you eat or drink, glory to God. But he goes on and he says in verse 31, or whatsoever you do. Now, I want to talk about that whatsoever. I've heard this applied to whatsoever as in like anything in the world. Well, obviously, God should get the glory of anything that we do in life. But in context, he's talking about the contrast of eating and drinking. Obviously. He says, if you eat and drink, do it to the glory of God. Okay? However, whatsoever you do means if you decide I'm going to sacrifice my own satisfaction so that I don't offend somebody, do that to the glory of God too. That's pretty exciting. That means if we are willing to sacrifice our own satisfactions at times so that we don't offend each other, God gets the glory for that. Look what he says in verse 32. He says, give none offense. And that's the point of this whole thing. Give none offense, neither to the Jew nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. And listen, are we going to offend each other? Sure. Why? Because we're humans. But don't do it on purpose. Don't do it negligent. Don't do it because you don't care. You see? Live your life. Enjoy your life. Avoid the eggshells. But along the way, you have to make some choices to sacrifice your own satisfactions at times and try to live without those offenses. And it's a glory to God. There's potential for people to be saved. Look what he says in verse 33. Even as I please all men in all things. Let me say that again. Even as I please all men in all things. Not seeking mine own profit or my own satisfaction, but the profit of many. Why? That they may be saved. So that's why we do. We care about people. We love people enough to consider them and how it affects them, you see. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to choose to sacrifice our own satisfaction at times so that we don't offend. I remember You know, I was telling you about this young lady in the PE class, and I knelt down and I looked at her and I said, I remember this vividly, and I said, you're an excellent vacuumer. And she went back to playing, and she's 9, you know, so she's like, okay, you know. And she did her thing, and the kids all went home for the day, and I'm turning all the lights off to the building. And I go to the auditorium where she had been vacuuming, and I open the door, and I turn the lights on, and it was vacuumed exactly how I wanted it. She did it exactly how I wanted it done. She didn't argue. She didn't fuss. She was willing to do what I wanted her to do. And I thought to myself, you know, as tears were coming down my face at that point, what's this young lady going to be when she's up here, you know? What's this young lady going to do for God? I don't want to hurt that. A spirit like that, who's willing to have somebody over them, and she's just doing it. You know, what's he going to say? Like, I don't want to be that guy. You see? So here's what God, I believe, wants us to do this morning. Just think of each other. Love each other. Not in a strange way, because love, you know, take that to a different strange level, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're just, let's care for each other. Let's think of each other. And yes, offenses will come. Let's deal with those. Matthew 5, Matthew 18. That's not this message. This message is, let's keep the offenses from even happening because we care about each other, right? Maybe this is a help this morning. I hope that it is. I think that Paul has designed this to be a help. And whenever you saw that title, People's Feelings Do Matter, you might have thought, I wonder about this. But I hope you're blessed this morning and God's worked in your heart. Father, we love you and we thank you for how you have, Lord, clearly shown us what you want us to do. And I think, Lord, you've given us things that are helpful and Lord, that can point us in a direction, Lord, of keeping some things from happening down the road that just don't need to happen. Offenses that don't need to be there. And I, Lord, ask that you would help us to just know whatever we need to do. Just, I guess, take care, Lord. Not in anxiety, but just choosing to consider others, Lord, and I pray that you'll help us to apply that, and Lord, we'll certainly even now give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.